the theme for this Thanksgiving Eve sermon is joy on Thanksgiving Eve for God's covenant faithfulness. Joy on Thanksgiving Eve for God's covenant faithfulness. Two thoughts or points of attention. First, a feast of thanksgiving. A feast of thanksgiving. And second, a life in thanksgiving. So the theme is joy on Thanksgiving Eve for God's covenant faithfulness. First, a feast of thanksgiving. And second, a life of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day, the fourth Thursday in November. It is probably the greatest holiday in the United States. Although others might say, well, it's Christmas or Veterans Day or Memorial Day. But I think most people would point to Thanksgiving Day as the greatest holiday in the States. The question could raise, why is Thanksgiving so popular in the United States? Well, I searched the internet for some answers. I'll read some answers, just the first answers I found. First answer. Well, Thanksgiving is a time of great food, grand tradition, giving back to loved ones and those you even don't know. Second quote from the internet. It is a time to gather with family and friends, share a traditional meal, we all see the turkey, and express gratitude for the things in life. And I found many similar quotes, and I found an addition on many of these Google answers that it is also a time to enjoy football, with multiple NFL teams playing on this holiday. Well, that's United States Thanksgiving Day. It made me actually sad. But I look around me in the States, it's my second year here. When I look around, I receive a confirmation and justification of the things I found on internet. I think they are true. But the true Thanksgiving Day, and I think and hope you will agree with me, is far removed from this Thanksgiving Day. What to thank for, of who? Who to thank for all these friends and family, right? They say, this is why Thanksgiving is so popular. It is a time of being together with family and friends. But who do we give thanks or bring thanks for all these friends and family? Who do we bring thanks to for that rich meal we hope to enjoy tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day? Who do we give thanks to for all the rich gifts of the past year? And we can go on and go on and go on. How poor it is that most of the people in the United States enjoy so much the many gifts of that great giver, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of Israel, who is our God, but do not acknowledge him and do not bring him thanks. But what about us tonight? What is the first thing that comes to our mind when we think about Thanksgiving? Is our heart overflowing for his many gifts and graces? And that greatest gift of all, his Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah? When we see Jesus Christ, then it becomes a true Thanksgiving Day. In the Bible are many Thanksgiving days. Although, I have to add, there is no holiday called Thanksgiving Day in the Bible. But there are many, plenty Thanksgiving days and even Thanksgiving weeks in the Bible. The first thing that comes to mind when I think about Thanksgiving in the Bible is the three great pilgrimage feasts in the Old Testament. They are all Thanksgiving holidays. There is Passover. Our equivalent is Easter. There is Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. Our equivalent is Pentecost. And there is the third one, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot in Hebrew. There is no equivalent with us. But all these three great pilgrimage feasts are feasts of thanksgiving. And they thanked God three times a year for crops and labor. And they thanked him three times a year for his actions in the past, in the history of Israel, for bringing them out of Egypt, leading them through the Red Sea, bringing them to Mount Sinai, leading them through the desert and into the land of Israel, and making that land fruitful. And these things were celebrated on these three great pilgrimage feasts: Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Israel, let us not forget, in the times of the Old Testament was largely an agricultural society. It all revolved there in that society around agriculture and animal husbandry. And this was reflected in these three great pilgrimage feasts. The first one, I mentioned this feast already, is Passover. And of course, immediately followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oftentimes these two together are called Pesach, Passover. And this feast coincided with the beginning of the harvest, the barley harvest. It was in the springtime. And actually, that feast took 7 days. So at the beginning of the harvest, the first harvest, the barley harvest, all the people of Israel traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate a week of thanksgiving for the beginning of the harvest. 50 days later, it was Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. That feast that coincided with the wheat harvest. The first harvest was always barley, and then they turned to the wheat harvest 50 days later. And again, they took a week off to thank the Lord for the wheat harvest, a Thanksgiving week. And then in the fall, there is Sukkot, what we call the Feast of Tabernacles. And that feast coincided with the end of the fruit harvest. Fruits such as grapes and olives and dates were harvested. And again, for the third time in a year, all Israel took a week off to thank the Lord for his many gifts of this season. In total, 21 days of Thanksgiving, 3 full weeks every year. But it's understandable. Can you name anything in your life that you didn't receive from the Lord? And therefore, let us live alive in thankfulness. Not only this one day of Thanksgiving, how limited that is. Well, that third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, was probably the greatest of these three feasts. In several places in God's Word, this third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot in Hebrew, is simply referred to as the feast. The feast. We find this expression, by example, I hope to preach on that tomorrow morning, in the Gospel of John. The feast. Well, it is indeed the feast because it is the conclusion of the agricultural year. The last harvest is brought in. First the barley, then the wheat, and then the fruits. And the last harvest is brought in. And people look back these past months and season, and they thank the Lord for all he bestowed upon them. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 8 and 9, we find a list of the main things that had been brought in during the season. We read there, Deuteronomy 8, verse 8 and 9, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, oil-rich olive trees, and honey. What a reason to thank the Lord. Oh, he brought the people, first of all, to the land Canaan. He led them into the land Canaan. He gave them their rich heritage. And God was so faithful, he made it a land according to his promise of milk and honey. And therefore, 3 times a year, but especially that last week, a week of thanksgiving, praise for him who was so good for them. However, the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as the other great pilgrimage feasts, all 3 of them, were more than just thanksgiving for crops and labor, more than thanksgiving for what God gave them in the past season in nature. And especially we consider tonight at Feast of Tabernacles, we will consider it a little bit more. What do we find more in that Feast of Tabernacles? Well, in that Feast of Tabernacles, indeed, it was first of all thanksgiving for the harvest, the end of the fruit harvest. But the second reason, that feast was a thanksgiving of God's mighty and wonderful deeds in history. And in particular, how God provided for his people during the desert journey. 40 years he cared for them in the desert. He was there day by day. He went before them in the cloud by day and the column of fire by night. He gave them water to drink, manna to eat, and their clothes and shoes didn't become old. They were not worn out. They stayed as new for 40 years. Well, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, God was thanked for these wonderful 40 years. And there is a third reason for the Feast of Tabernacles, and I hope to preach on that tomorrow. It looked forward to the great coming day of thanksgiving. To God's future in and with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But tomorrow more about that. Again, tonight and tomorrow morning, a closer look on this Feast of Tabernacles. To understand why and how the people of Israel thanked God and to take away lessons for us in 2023. But in order to take away these lessons, we first need to understand more how the people of Israel celebrated that Feast of Tabernacles and how they still celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles. Because present-day celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, they call it Sukkot, is still largely like the celebration in biblical times. There are, of course, differences, especially with regard to the sacrifices and the temple in Jerusalem. But in many other aspects, it is still the same celebration. And I think the first thing that comes to mind when we think about that Feast of Tabernacles is indeed the tabernacle, the booth, or the hut. In Hebrew, it is called sukkah. And plural for sukkah, hut, or tabernacle, is sukkot. And therefore, this feast is called in Hebrew sukkot, both in the Bible and even in nowadays Israel, sukkot. It is remarkable. I think none of you has ever been in Israel during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. But it is impressive to walk on the streets in Israel and to watch all these houses. You know what is so remarkable? Every house, every family has his own sukkah, a hut, or a booth. Every family, every house. Sometimes you find that sukkah, that hut or booth in the garden. Sometimes on a balcony. Sometimes even on public property. But every house hath one. It are small, shaky structures. It are huts. The sides, the four sides are partly open and partly closed. So inside the hut or the booth is both sunshine and there is shade. The roof is also partly open and partly closed. All of it on purpose. The sky can be seen from inside the hut. Just sitting on your chair or lying there to sleep, you see the stars twinkling at the sky through the branches and the leaves on the roof. And from inside, the hut is beautifully decorated because much time is spent in that booth in biblical times and nowadays. 7 days the people of Israel every year spend in that booth. They lived and still live in that booth. There is a table, some chairs, but that's it. But they live there for 7 days. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, more about living in such a booth and the meaning of that. For now, we leave it. Tomorrow morning, the Lord willing. Well, the first day of this Feast of Tabernacle is a day of rest. It is a Sabbat. A Shabbat. But also the last day, the eighth day, is a Shabbat. So this Feast of Tabernacles begins with a day of rest for the Lord, and it ends with a day of rest for the Lord. And in between are 6 days of celebration and thanksgiving, and the people lived in these huts, in these booths. On the first day, and you can find this in the Bible. Actually, we have read it, Leviticus 23, verse 40. On the first day, they made a bouquet with 4 species. You find the species mentioned in Leviticus 23, verse 40. The terms are a bit vague, but later interpreters tell us exactly what the Lord meant with these 4 species. Right? They made a bouquet of it, these 4 species. The first species is called a bough of goodly trees. Literally translated, I would say it says a fruit of a beautiful tree. And according to later interpretation, it is an etrog, and that's a citron, a lemon. That's the first thing. It's part of that bouquet. One of the 4 species. The second species is a lulav. It is called here in Leviticus 23, verse 40, a palm branch. Well, that's what it is, a palm branch. A young branch from a date palm tree. A lulav. The third species is a hadas. 3 branches from a myrtle. It is called here in Leviticus 23, verse 40, a bough of thick trees. And mend is a myrtle branch. And then the last species, it's called in Leviticus 23, willows of the brook. Well, indeed, it's what it is. It are willow branches. And we call it in Hebrew an arava. Here you have the 4 species. And these branches, these species, a bouquet was made of it, and they were waved before the Lord on that first day of thanksgiving. Well, we wonder, of course, why does God explicitly state that they have to make such a bouquet of these 4 species and to wave it before him on the first day of Thanksgiving? Well, there is no explanation in the Bible. And I don't want to fantasy about it, but I'll just give you one explanation. You find it mainly in the literature of the rabbis and taken over, of course, by Christian exegetes. This bouquet consisting of 4 species portrays the people of Israel. 4 different species portraying 4 different kind of covenant people. You have to know that some of these species have a beautiful fragrance. Some others have no fragrance at all. Some of these species are fruitful and they taste very well. Some other species don't have fruit at all, so you can't taste anything. So they have fragrance or not, and they have a taste, a fruit, or not. So many rabbis and Christian exegetes point out that there are people within the covenant people, then and now, who have a rich fragrance. The knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of his will, knowledge of themselves that they are a poor sinner, knowledge of a rich God, a fragrance. And some of them have no knowledge at all. They do not know themselves. There is no fragrance, no knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of themselves. And there is that second thing. Some of these species have fruit. They taste well, and some others don't have fruit. You can't taste them. Some of these covenant people, back in those days in Israel and nowadays, they bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But others have no fruit at all. You see? The covenant people, they're all different people. We are all different. And some of us know the Lord and know themselves. And some others are without that knowledge. In some of us, that knowledge is superficial. In others, that knowledge is profound and deep and wide and high. Some of us lack fruit at all in our lives, no spiritual fruit. Others have just a few fruits. And there are among us with abundance of fruit. But here, they are held together in one bouquet. And so does the Lord hold his people together. You find the same thing all over in the Bible. Take, by example, Revelation 1 to 3. You find Jesus Christ there in heaven, standing amidst seven candles. And these seven candlesticks represent the churches of all time and places, seven, the number of fools. In his hands, he holds seven stars. They represent the angels guarding or leading these churches of all time and places. Again, seven, the number of fullness. But when we browse through Revelation 1 through 3, and we see the description of these churches, oh, there is a church like Sardis, dead, that Laodicea, lukewarm. But the amazing thing is that even these two churches are there in heaven, and the Lord holds even these two churches in his hand, and he stands amidst them. You see the same thing here in the Feast of Tabernacles. Or you hear the same thing in the parable of wheat and tares, Matthew 13. There are good seeds and bad seeds, and they grow up together. And the Lord of heaven and earth let them grow up together. But after the harvest time, the wheat, the good seed, will be gathered in the barn. But the tares, the bad seeds, right? They will be burned. They will be burned. But you see, during this life, the Lord holds them together. Well, here you have the Feast of Tabernacles. The whole people of Israel, all of them, without exception, come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And they live in these huts for 7 days. And there is this bouquet representing the different type of covenant people. But the question is, for each one of them individually, is it a thanksgiving? Who is the Lord for you? Do you have knowledge of yourself and the knowledge of God? Is there fruit in your life? Is it a thanksgiving, yes or no? Seven days together. Seven is that number of fullness. Oh, our life, it is fleeting. It goes so fast. How beautiful it is that we have at least one day. But in the Bible they had, and in Israel still have, 21 days of thanksgiving, spending together as covenant people to remember what the Lord has given, to stir up our hearts, to look to heaven, to the great giver of all these things. He blessed us with so much. What do we have that the Lord has not given to us? How terrible it is when gratitude, thankfulness is lacking in our life. We will end up like that rich man. The Lord Jesus talks about him in Luke 12. That parable. The land of a rich man had prospered. So every reason to give thanks to the Lord. But instead, this rich man decides to store the produce of his land in large barns and to retire and to enjoy life. Oh, rich in himself, poor in God. Real wealth does not lie in the abundance of goods. Real and true wealth lies in a heart that is grateful and thankful to God for all he did to my soul and in my life. All he did in Jesus Christ for my soul and his daily sustenance. Rich is he who lives in that dependence on the Lord day by day, who seeks first the kingdom of God. That man thought he was rich. He forgot God. He is called a fool by God. And that night, he died. And he appeared before God. Well, before we move on to the second thought, alive in thanksgiving, let us sing Psalter 90. Psalter 90, that's Psalm 34, and we'll sing four stanzas, 2, 3, 4, and 6. Psalter 34, stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 6. The second thought is a life of thanksgiving. There's more about a Feast of Tabernacles. So we heard that it is a feast of thanksgiving for crops and labor. It is a feast indeed that we remember God's great deeds. That's the second thing. And while contemplating on the great deeds of the Lord, as celebrated in these three pilgrimage feasts, we will see that what is summed up with the Feast of Tabernacles concerns all of life. The Feast of Tabernacles, and therefore also Thanksgiving Day, call us to live every day in true gratitude, to let each day, our whole life, be a day of thanksgiving. Let me explain it. To understand that the Feast of Tabernacles calls us to live a life in gratitude, we must see the connection with the other great feasts. And they all have, as I mentioned, a rich and a deep religious meaning. They point to God's deeds and acts, his dealings in history. The first feast, Passover. And of course, combined with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? Because both of them together are oftentimes called Passover, Pesach. We know all what is celebrated in Pesach or Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is all about the deliverance from death in Egypt. The angel of death passed by because blood was smeared upon the doorposts and the lintel of the Israeli houses. And the angel of the Lord passed by seeing that blood. So Pesach is first of all a day and a feast of deliverance, remembrance of deliverance from death. And secondly, it is a feast of liberation from the bonds of slavery. Because with a mighty hand, the Lord led his people out of Egypt. And these two things are remembered on Pesach, Passover. The second great feast, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, 50 days later. And on that feast, the Israelites commemorated how the Lord made them, out of all these people worldwide, but he made them, the least of all people, his people. And he did so at Mount Sinai in the desert. 50 days after Pesach, he led them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He led them into the desert. He brought them before the Mount Sinai. And he declared there, "I am your God." And he gave them the Ten Commandments to live from that moment on alive in gratitude. I am your God. I am the one who brought you out of the house of slavery. Therefore, hear my will. Live in gratitude. I set you free. And then we move on to the third feast. But before we move on to the third feast, there is a smaller feast, but of great importance. There is the Day of Atonement. 10 days before the Feast of Tabernacles, 40 days after Pesach, there's the Day of Atonement, the great day of atonement. It appears that the life of these people is a life in sin. Yes, they were led out of Egypt, remembered with Pesach, freed, led through the Red Sea, brought into the desert. And then, right, we have Shavuot at Feast of Weeks. They were made his people at Mount Sinai. And the Lord declared his law. But then, as life went on, it became so clear that they were unable to keep the holy law of God. They failed utterly. And therefore, before we move on to that last feast, that Feast of Tabernacles, there is 10 days before this great Day of Atonement. And there were these two lambs. One was slaughtered. The other one was led into the desert. On that day, the people confessed their sins. And they looked to these lambs. And they expected and they looked forward to the coming Messiah who will deliver them from their sins and the burden of sins. The Day of Atonement, a day of repentance, confession of sins, and seeking forgiveness. That's the Day of Atonement. Immediately after the Day of Atonement, the people of Israel began to build booth huts on their property. And they were ready a few days later on the day on the Feast of Tabernacles. And then they live in these booths for 7 days. You see how beautiful it is to follow these three pilgrimage feasts and the Day of Atonement in between, and to see what the Lord does for his people. All the lessons here pile up. We cannot have that Feast of Tabernacles, a real Thanksgiving day, before we know that it was Pesach. And we remember, and we know that behind the blood of Jesus Christ, smeared at the doorpost and the lintels of my heart, there is forgiveness of sins. And we are set free from our guilt, declared righteous in Christ. But before it is that great Feast of Tabernacles, it is so important that we first come to terms with God through Jesus Christ and seek his forgiveness. The blood of the Lamb of God, we need it. Because we are, as Paul says, dead in sin and trespasses. And as we read in John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But we also can't, without knowing that we are part of the people of God, and that God declared to us, I am the Lord your God. Your God, adopted as Son in Christ. I am the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt here. It is so important that we come to terms with God and have the true experiential knowledge of ourselves and of God in his goodness, and that we know his word. And then life indeed turns into a life of gratitude. But again and again, we run up against our sins, our sinful nature, and therefore that Day of Atonement. We seek God. We confess our sins. We seek that forgiveness even after Easter, right after Pesach. We need that forgiveness. Every year there was this Day of Atonement. We need to have that fuel on Christ and his work day by day. And only then, knowing all these things, well, there is a true thanksgiving. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes that we all come to know these precious truths and that we experience them ourselves. What rich lessons are there in the Feast of Tabernacles? Thanksgiving Day. Why? No, let's begin here. Let's draw some lessons before we end the sermon. First of all, who are called to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. I pointed already to that bouquet, these four species, four different types of covenant people. And they were gathered together, and the Lord holds them together. Well, who were invited to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles? Deuteronomy 16, verse 14. Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, everybody that is within thy gates. Everybody was invited to thank God. Did they all experience God's goodness personally? No. But they were all invited to participate at that great Feast of Tabernacles and to live in booth there for a week. Why? So that all, the converted and the unconverted, them that know God and them that do not know God experientially, them that bear fruit and them that do not bear fruit, but that all of them together will lift up their hands and thank God for his many blessings. And that the believer takes the unbeliever and turns his eyes toward heaven. And that the believer is a rich witness for the unbeliever. Hear what the Lord did to me. And you point out to Pesach how you were, how the angel of death passed by behind the blood of Jesus Christ. How you were set free. How the Lord declared, you are my people, my son. How he gave you that holy law. How he declared his will. But you ran up against yourself and you concluded, I can't keep that law. And how the Lord came again and again with forgiveness, these two lambs, right? On the Day of Atonement. That's why everybody is invited on Thanksgiving, on that feast, the feast, the third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, that the whole people of Israel will come to know God and give him thanks from within their heart. How is the Feast of Tabernacles celebrated? How is Thanksgiving celebrated? Leviticus 23, 35 and 27, twice. As a holy convocation, as a holy convocation. It is God who calls us to bring him thanks. It is his wish, it is his will. Come before me and bring me thanks. It is God calling sinners to himself and telling him, bring me thanks, give me thanks. It is God who sets them apart and brings them before his holy countenance. How is the Feast of Tabernacles celebrated? It's a holy convocation, but there's more. Leviticus 23 and Numbers 28 make clear that there are many, many sacrifices. Why? Why? Because especially on Thanksgiving, it becomes clear that we are sinners. And we sin so much and so often. And therefore, we bring sacrifices of sin. We confess our guilt. And we bring that sin offering. We flee to Jesus Christ, that Lamb of God, on Thanksgiving, confessing our sin. And at the same time, we recognize God's many gifts and we give him the best we have. We give him all we can afford. All we can afford and the best we have, we give to him on Thanksgiving. Because all we have, the Lord gave to us. And we are just as stewards. Lord, thou gavest me so much. I'll give it back to you. You know what the greatest offer and sacrifice is that we can bring on Thanksgiving? A broken heart. A completely broken spirit. Confessing our sin and guilt. Lord, here I am. Thou art such a good doing God. So many gifts. And here I am. Such a poor sinner. So there is on one hand this joy because of what the Lord did and us in his Son and in the Spirit. And on the other hand, there is the broken spirit. There is this humble man. I am a sinner. Well, thirdly, how is the Feast of Tabernacles and the Thanksgiving Day celebrated? So it was as a holy convocation. There were sacrifices. And third, we read in Leviticus 23, verse 40, with joy. With joy. There's so much reason to thank the Lord for his many gifts. In conclusion tonight, why was the Feast of Tabernacles celebrated? So that it will be seen by everybody that God is the Savior and Redeemer in Jesus Christ, his Son, through his Spirit, and that he is a faithful covenant God and a generous blesser. And therefore, Deuteronomy 16, verse 15 and 17, they say, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So why do we celebrate Thanksgiving Day? That we might see and experience that everything we received and still receive comes to us because Christ gave himself. It is fruit on Christ's work. If he had not completed and given himself and not completed his work as Savior and Redeemer, there would be no blessing for us, no gift of God, but only wrath and curse. Then death would remain. But in and through Christ there is grace, abundant grace for sinners, and blessing for those that do not deserve blessing. And thus, we truly celebrate Thanksgiving in and through Christ. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this Thanksgiving Eve. We thank thee, Lord, that we could open thy word in the Old Testament and that we could read about these three pilgrimage feasts and the Day of Atonement, but especially on the third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkoth. O Lord, we ask thee that we may take the lessons heard with it, and that we may live alive in gratitude because of all that God did. Lord, give us that true knowledge of ourselves and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, thy Son, and therefore pour out thy Spirit.